time for our Health Matters segment with our friends from Finger Lakes Health. And as always, Kim Alakwa is here to kick things off. Kim, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I am good. Thawed out.
Yes.
You've got a benefit coming up called Rock for Kidneys. Tell me about it.
Yes. We are hosting, this is going to be our second annual Rock for Kidneys event. It is Saturday, April 25th, starting at 4 p.m. at the Sons and Daughters of Italy on Prospect Ave in Geneva. Geneva. Tickets are $10. You can purchase them from the foundation office for Finger Lakes Health Foundation by giving us a call at 315-787-4050, or you can call Mike Rossetti at 315-237-3627. And tickets for this benefit are our dialysis unit. And we're very fortunate to have this community member, Mike Rossetti, who has hosted this fundraiser for us for the second year in a row. There's going to be food, there's live music, basket drawings. It's a lot of fun. It was a great event last year, so we're hoping people come out again this year to support our dialysis unit. And also, I just want to give a shout out. We held our comedy night on March 6th. We want to thank the comedians who came out to support us, Twisted Rail for hosting us, all the guest bartenders, and everyone who came out. It was a sold-out event.
Nice.
We raised over $1,100, and that went to support our new telemetry equipment in our ICU.
Yeah, our friends, the Feinbusches, were on that show, Scott and his wife.
Yeah, it was a great show. Everyone loved it. We were just so fortunate to have the comedians come out and do that for us and to do a fundraiser for our ICU.
Is that going to turn into an annual thing?
We hope so.
I was hoping. Fingers crossed. I unfortunately couldn't make it to it, but I was hoping that was going to be a sellout, because if it is, then it's like, okay, now it's easier to come back and say, yeah, we can do this again. So
absolutely. And it was just really special to us that community members wanted to do a fundraiser for the hospital. We really appreciated it.
Yes. All right. Let's move on to our guest today in studio with us.
So I know we're all wearing green today for St. Patrick's, but it still is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, which is where you wear blue. So I'm very proud today that we have Dr. Blessing Reese with us. She is a board certified gastroenterologist. She practices with Finger Lakes Gastroenterology up on 5 and 20 in Geneva, and we're very fortunate to have her here at Finger Lakes Health.
Hey, Dr. Reese, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about your background. How did you get into, the medical field, and what made you go towards gastroenterology?
Yeah, so, you know, I grew up in Kenya, and I spent my first 18 years there, and saw a lot of disparity in terms of access to healthcare. So it was always something on the back of my mind, and, you know, as I went further in training, I always gravitated towards sciences and enjoyed working with people, and this medicine was a really great kind of mashup of those two things. I think GI is pretty special because it treats a whole host of different conditions, some of which are very acute, like someone who needs treatment for a GI bleed, which can sometimes be fatal, to treating patients who are more stable, coming in for, you know, regular screening colonoscopies or treating their reflux. So it's a very fun field, nice mix of procedures, and also spending time with patients.
And you mentioned gastroenterology kind of is a wide umbrella because it encompasses so many different things.
Absolutely. Not only does it encompass, you know, the more common things like reflux or IBS, but it also includes inflammatory bowel disease, like ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease that you might hear, you know, ads for on TV for certain medications to treat those conditions. It also includes liver diseases and, you know, patients who have fatty liver, which is a very common condition in the U.S. population. So it is very broad, a lot of conditions under that tent.
And this being Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, we want to focus on colonoscopies. Can't be stressed enough. The age is now what? After age 45?
That's right.
It used to be 50.
That's right.
But it's been backed up over the past couple of years because the research has shown that early start, earlier detection, better chance of catching things.
That's absolutely right. Back in 2018, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force reduced the starting screening age from 50 to 45. And one reason for that, too, is because the incidence of colorectal cancer is steadily on the rise. It's now the leading cause of cancer death among people under the age of 50. And so it really is important to get your screenings on time and keeping that number 45 in mind. That's when you're supposed to start your screenings.
Now, I've gone through this a couple of times, and I've talked to many friends that have done the same thing, and we're all of the same opinion. It's like, yeah, okay, you know what? The prep part, maybe not the greatest thing to deal with in the world, but the actual, you know, the actual
procedure.
Yes, thank you. That was the word I was looking for. The actual procedure itself, really not much to it.
That's absolutely right. We always tell people once they're in the doors, you've already done the worst part of the colonoscopy, which is the prep.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, some people tolerate it, you know, pretty well, you know. So, you know, I would say just don't be scared of it. It's definitely worth it to undergo a procedure that can be life-saving.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think all the talk about the prep and everything is overblown. Like I said, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but man, there could be a lot worse things that you could do to yourself than colonoscopy prep.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about getting a colonoscopy, especially early, is that's when you can catch the polyps. The polyps are the things that can lead to bad things down the road.
Absolutely. And so that's why we love colonoscopy, as it's our preferred method for colon cancer screening, because yes, it can detect cancers, but it can also detect polyps, which are, like you said, those precursors to cancer. And we can actually take out polyps, which reduce your risk of developing cancer in the future. There are other screening tests that people can use too. There are kind of stool-based tests. Those are, you know, it's important to keep in mind, those are good at detecting cancer, but not very good at detecting polyps. And so, you know, I would argue you would want to catch something before it is cancerous.
I've heard a couple of people say that, you know, if you're not high risk, those buy, you know, order in kits that you ship out a sample are okay, but they don't take the place of actually going and having the procedure done.
That's right. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up, because some people do stool-based kits, but if you're not at average risk, you should not do that. And average risk means that you do not have a family history of colon cancer and you have not had polyps on a colonoscopy before. If you're in that bucket, then you can do a stool test. But keep in mind that if it does turn out positive, you do need to follow it up with a colonoscopy.
We're talking with Dr. Blessing Reese. She works at the Finger Lakes Gastroenterology Office, which is just down the street from Walmart on 5 and 20 in Geneva, a little past where Harley-Davidson is on the opposite side of the road. So are there any new things that are coming about, new forms of treatment, maybe new procedures on the horizon that you're starting to look at as a doctor and as a practice, saying, okay, yeah, we want to go down this road?
Well, there are some blood-based tests that are starting to gain some traction in terms of in the research space about whether they could at some point take over stool-based testing as being, you know, effective for detecting both colon cancer and polyps. But that's still kind of in the works at this moment. I think right now what we're trying to do is really get out information about things that patients can do to reduce their risk of developing colon cancer in the first place.
Right, right. The colonoscopy is a way to look and see if something's going on, but there's a way to prevent things going on.
Absolutely. And so, you know, there are certain behavioral things people can do to lower their risk. One of those is avoiding tobacco, avoiding alcohol, and then adjusting your diet. And when it comes to the diet, it's important to know, because a recent study actually showed that over half, 50% of people don't realize that deli meats is a really big cause of colon cancer. It's actually a carcinogen, and which means that there is sufficient evidence to suggest that it causes cancer in humans. So deli meats should really be, you should really cut down your intake of that with a goal of elimination. Same with red meat. And then really try increase your intake of whole unprocessed foods.
Is that because of like the high process rate of things like that? Other high processed foods kind of falls in that same category?
Absolutely. The processing nature of foods, and I think people are still trying to fully understand why, but there is an effect on the development of colon cancer. And so really just cooking as much as you can at home, sticking to lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and beans is really going to be good for you.
Yeah, that's, I think, why there's been that, you know, that whole foods movement, getting away from the processed stuff and getting down to the, okay, this is where some of this processed stuff comes from, but in its more pure form, it's actually healthier for you. And depending on how you prep it, you know, you can come up with some really different combinations.
Absolutely. Yeah. So diet, as always, plays a huge role in our health.
Absolutely, it does. If you someone wants to schedule a colonoscopy, maybe get looked at for other things that fall under the gastroenterology umbrella, how do they reach the office?
Absolutely. So oftentimes the easiest way is to speak with your primary care provider, and they can send a referral over to our office. It's especially important to tell your doctor if you have symptoms that might be concerning for colon cancer. And those symptoms can include bleeding, rectal bleeding, so bleeding when you're having a bowel movement, change in your bowel habits, so developing new diarrhea or constipation that is abnormal for you, abdominal pain, and an unintentional weight loss. Mention that to your primary care doctor, and they can send a referral over to our office.
Okay. I appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Kim, good to see you as always.
Nice to see you too, Paul.